This is special coverage on the novel coronavirus from North State Public Radio. I'm news director Sarah Bohannon. Today we'll hear from Chico Vice Mayor Alex Brown on enforcing California Governor Gavin Newsom's stay-at-home order in the city and the council's recent action to possibly explore the viability of bringing more students back to Chico State's campus. We'll also hear from Chico State President Gail Hutchinson about the idea and more about the university's current plans for the fall semester. If you have questions for us, let us know on our message line 433-9216 or go to our website, mynspr.org. For Friday, May 22nd, 2020, this is special coverage from North State Public Radio. As more businesses begin to reopen under the governor's phased reopening plan, questions have been raised regarding which agencies have the authority to enforce public health orders. NSPR's Andre Bayek recently spoke with Chico Vice Mayor Alex Brown to discuss enforcement as well as other items addressed at Tuesday's City Council meeting, including exploring possible options to bring students back to Chico State in the fall. Andre began the discussion by asking how Vice Mayor Brown believes the city's reopening has been going so far.
I think it's a balancing act when you are talking about a virus that oftentimes people can't see and also kind of accelerating the rate that folks are going to be engaging socially. While I do have faith in our businesses to operate according to the guidelines and rules that have been set out, obviously every step we take before we're out of the woods with this virus has the potential to put more people at risk. Obviously, according to today's numbers, cases have gone up since we have started to make this transition. And to me, that's concerning and indicates that there is risk to moving forward in this way.
You bring up those concerns about the cases going up. What are things that you're watching for as the city continues on its path to further reopen?
I'm paying very close attention to public health guidance and to the data that we have locally and whether those numbers are changing. If they're changing for the better or they're not, additional cases aren't recorded while testing remains steady, then I'm going to feel a lot more reassured that the city of Chico is doing things right and the county of Butte is doing things right. But if those numbers go up, as we have already seen in the past couple of days, then I would like to see us scale back and make sure that we're prioritizing keeping our community safe and making sure that we don't go through another cycle of closure of businesses somewhere down the road.
Along those lines, at the most recent city council meeting, you raised some questions about the city's ability to enforce public health orders when certain establishments maybe run afoul of the rules. Can you explain perhaps some of the reasons for bringing those questions up and if you believe they were adequately answered?
I had been hearing pretty consistently, and mostly like through the media, that the city had a different approach to enforcement than the county, than the state, and that those things weren't necessarily in sync. And so in spite of asking questions to try to really get to the heart of the matter, both publicly and in private meetings with city staff, I hadn't felt like that question was adequately answered. And because I was confused, my assumption was the public is probably confused as well. So at the meeting, I had asked, you know, what does enforcement look like? I'm hearing that the city's feeling like their hands are tied in terms of the ability to enforce. And what sort of tools do we have if the state doesn't or can't intervene in a situation that is dangerous for our community? I was happier with the answer that I received at the council meeting than I have been with the answers I've received in other forums. But I can't say that I'm fully clear. My understanding from city staff is that most businesses are in compliance and we haven't had to take an enforcement approach. Obviously, that's ideal. But the more and more that these businesses open up, and that certain businesses are allowed to open and others are not, and that there's very specific guidelines for each individual industry, there's a lot of room for mistakes to be made. And while I trust people's, you know, attempts, if that those mistakes lead to an increase in cases, that's a big problem. So locally, my feeling is that we do need to be sure we know what we can do and that the public needs to be sure what we can do in order to move forward if these issues come up. Many people saw and reported that outside of, alcohol and food establishments, there were long lines where people were not socially distancing. They weren't wearing masks. And there's a fine line there, right? If the establishment doesn't have any control about what happens outside of that business, then where does the city intervene to make sure that people are being safe? I don't know that I have an answer to that question, and that's incredibly concerning to me, frankly.
It does appear that the city is taking a position that it will not issue citations and instead leave it to the state and state licensing bodies to take care of that enforcement. Is that a satisfactory position, in your view, that the city is taking at this point? Or would you like to see anything done differently?
I think I would like to see things done differently. The language or the metaphor that was used last night at the council meeting was about a hammer and that we don't want to bring down the hammer on people. Well, I understand that. Nobody wants to punish other people for not being in compliance with regulations. But I think that the hands-off approach that at least is being communicated and that I feel was communicated last night, I don't think it sends a strong message to our community that we're taking this seriously. And I don't think it sends a strong message to our community that, if the state is unable or if something happens that puts our community at risk, that we're going to be there to protect our citizens. Obviously, an enforcement approach is the last possible option. But if we're not willing to go there, then I don't feel reassured that as we reopen, we're doing the best we can to keep people safe.
Along those lines, on top of that enforcement, there was some discussion at the council meeting about other ideas, perhaps more along the lines of rewarding businesses for following health guidelines, such as closing down some city streets downtown to allow for more dining space, possibly. What do you think of that idea? And maybe do you have any other ideas you'd like to share that could be innovative, could be going forward?
Incentivizing good behavior is always going to be an approach I prefer to punishing bad behavior. I think there's a balancing act between the two. It all really comes down to what the city actually has to offer to folks that are doing things right. And while I think we can celebrate those folks, I think we can kind of social norm around that type of operation. Closing down streets and allowing additional dining space is a great idea, but there's a lot of moving parts to it and also a lot of opportunity for social distancing issues in that context. And so I think that now is a time for creativity and ingenuity and looking outside of the box. And I think Chico's known for doing that. I'm fully supportive of options that might come forward in order to do that. And I think, it is a balance between enforcing when things go awry and making sure to reward where things are being done right. And we're seeing a lot of that, a lot of really good responses to this crisis.
Another significant question raised at the meeting was the recent announcement that CSU campuses like Chico State would be moving to majority online instruction in the fall. For Chico, I think one of your colleagues on the council said that could put the city in a downward spiral economically. Can you take me through the action the council took regarding possibly lobbying the CSU about any changes that could come in the future?
One of the unique things about Chico is that the university, in contrast with a lot of other places, is an economic boon for the community. It is one major reason why we are so vibrant and continue to grow and progress. So I can totally understand the concern around moving to a fully online platform for next semester. And my understanding of the concern that was raised is that it feels like a one-size-fits-all approach to different types of communities to move online. And that, there may be some opportunity for the city to get innovative and get creative and look at alternates or hybrid approaches to that kind of overarching guidance. For me, it feels really critically important that if we're going to have that conversation as a city or if we're going to do that lobbying, that we are sure that our university administration and the leadership at the university are not only included, but in favor of those conversations. And because what it's going to take is a genuine plan. We can't go into those types of conversations uninformed. And I think it always runs the risk of exacerbating the emergency at hand. So it's a really fine balance. I'm supportive of engaging in those conversations because I do understand what's at stake in terms of our economy, and not just our economy, but the vibrancy that our diverse student body brings to our community.
Is there anything I didn't ask you that you'd like to share about your thoughts on the city's coronavirus response, or anything you'd like to share about what you'd like to see more of going forward in the future?
I always tend to err on the side of kind of understanding and recognizing and looking at the risks of the things that we're doing. Public health should absolutely be considered in our definition of public safety. And this virus is unlike anything we've ever seen in our community. And so I'm hesitant to do things that are kind of outside of the guidance that's being given by public health or by the state, and to push for more of that before we've had ample time and opportunity to see the impact of those different phases. And so, I can totally understand and empathize with the entire community wanting things to be different. But I also think that trusting our public health experts and really being thoughtful and analytical moving forward is pretty critical to getting us out of the woods so that we don't end up back here in, a handful of months.
That was Alex Brown, Vice Mayor of Chico, speaking with NSPR's Andre Bayek, who I'm actually connected with on the phone right now. I wanted to dive into this question about enforcement in the city of Chico a bit more, because it's been something we've been trying to pin down for other cities and counties in our listening area, too. It's something that we as a news organization think is important to get clear. So, Andre, thank you for talking with me.
Thanks for having me.
We just heard Chico's Vice Mayor Alex Brown say she was not fully clear as to what the city can do enforcement-wise. From your reporting, what have you found that the city can do?
So I exchanged emails with Tony Lindsay, the city's Community Development Director for Building and Code Enforcement, and he laid out that code enforcement officers have the power to issue administrative citations for violations of the city's local emergency declaration, which was adopted in late March. He said the city's police department also can pursue misdemeanor citations.
Has the city pursued either avenue, administrative or misdemeanor citations, for businesses that are out of compliance?
No. As of Tuesday, Lindsay said code enforcement had not issued any citations. I also reached out to Butte County District Attorney Mike Ramsey to ask whether his office had received any cases from law enforcement in the county for violating the governor's stay-at-home order. He said he has not, and that law enforcement is currently taking an educational posture.
An educational posture? What does that mean?
Well, for code enforcement in Chico, Lindsay told me that the city has been diligently notifying businesses of the stay-at-home order and the need to follow city protocols aimed at reducing exposure to the virus, such as physical distancing and disinfecting high-use surfaces regularly. He said code enforcement will respond to complaints and, if necessary, make sure the appropriate state licensing body is made aware of noncompliance. He noted that there's been significant compliance citywide.
Moving back to the Chico City Council, again, you talked to Vice Mayor Brown. Did you talk to any other council members about their thoughts?
I did. I spoke with Councilman Sean Morgan over the phone recently, and he thinks the city's enforcement posture has been the right way to handle things. He said he questions the legality of the governor's order and believes the city could open itself to liability if it starts issuing fines. He acknowledged that there may be some businesses in the city that have opened too early, according to the state order, but that overall, most businesses are following the rules. Morgan said he would strongly disagree with the city issuing code violations or misdemeanors, unless a violation was so egregious as to force the authorities to escalate their efforts.
Okay, so just to make sure that I fully understand, can you summarize what you learned about the enforcement that the city has versus what they're using?
Sure. The bottom line is that in Chico, at least according to Tony Lindsay, code enforcement and police have the power to issue citations for noncompliance with public health rules. Those powers haven't been used. Instead, if businesses are noncompliant, they are being advised of public health orders and warned that the state may take action.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for tracking down this information. I know it's a question that's been on a lot of our minds.
Thank you.
That was NSPR's Andre Bayek talking with me about his reporting on who actually has the authority in Chico to enforce the governor's stay-at-home orders and the Stage 2 guidelines. In the interview played earlier with Chico Vice Mayor Alex Brown, there was another important issue that was brought up, which is the council's decision to explore ways to possibly allow more students back to Chico State's campus this fall than are currently expected to return. City staff may explore lobbying the CSU Chancellor's Office to treat Chico differently than other CSU campuses because of the university's economic influence in the city. Andre was able to get Chico State President Gail Hutchinson on the line, and we will hear that interview when we return. Stay tuned. This is special coverage on the novel coronavirus from North State Public Radio. I'm Sarah Bohannon. Earlier this month, California State University Chancellor Timothy White announced that the majority of CSU courses will be delivered virtually in the fall because of the coronavirus pandemic. NSPR's Andre Bayek recently spoke with Chico State President Gail Hutchinson about the Chico City Council's recent action to possibly explore the viability of bringing more students back to the campus than currently planned.
When the chancellor made his announcement on May 12 that the CSU will be predominantly online or virtual in the fall, predominantly means the vast majority, and the chancellor did say that we would have limited exceptions for in-person teaching, learning, and research. And those limited exceptions really are dependent upon what's going on at each campus and each community where that campus resides. So in the case of Chico State, we've been working very hard over the last month to try to determine what limited in-person exceptions to teaching, learning, and research we might have. And it turns out that we're just about completing a list where we will have up to 15% of our courses in person. And 15% of the number of courses that we offer is quite a bit. So there actually will be quite a bit of activity on the Chico State campus next fall. I don't think the city council was aware of that when they had their conversation this week. And I also don't think they were aware that city manager Mark Orme and I, we talk every other week and update each other on our planning. One of the things that I am pleased to say is that I am happy to sit down with city council or do a presentation for city council as soon as I have the detail on our planning. And I think that will allay a lot of fear and concern with regard to the economy. And I also welcome city council and the city manager and his staff to sit down and plan more deliberately with the university. Mark Orme and I, like I said, have been keeping each other informed, and he knew that I would be bringing detail about our fall planning to him next week. And so now I have the opportunity not only to bring it to Mark next week, but to engage again city staff and certainly inform the city council members. So that said, when the Chancellor White made his statement back in May 12, it was really with a clear understanding and a realization that much of what's going on in the state of California varies by community to community. There are some communities that are in a great degree of lockdown and other communities, not so much. It also aligned quite well with the governor's roadmap for reopening, which places the entire state right now in stage two. And I understand that Butte County was one of the first counties to receive permission from the governor to reopen as described by stage two. So knowing that we are aligned with our fall opening with the requirements of stage two, now that gives us an opportunity to, again, sit down and plan with a little more detail with the city. And that said, I think if the governor were to announce that we were moving into stage three, it certainly would provide Chico State with an option to lessen its restrictions as we move into the fall.
You mentioned that 15% number. How does that translate in terms of the student population? How many students could return to campus?
Well, it's a very good question, and we're still working that out. So if I were to give you back of the envelope estimation, I think what we're talking about is around 500, maybe a little bit more, actual courses with small enrollment numbers being offered. And these limited in-person classes are really associated with that which is indispensable to the university's core mission, but also to a student's progress toward degree. And we also have to make sure that we implement real rigorous standards for safety and welfare as we provide these courses for students. So it would be like nursing clinical. It would be selected labs, let's say, in engineering. It would be selected labs, let's say, in chemistry, biology, and certainly out on the farm. And I'm sure there are other courses listed that I know the Division of Academic Affairs, the chairs, department chairs, and deans are working on, along with the provost. And I think that's important to note. So that's quite a few course sections, and not courses. I should remind myself that it's course sections. 500 is quite a few, and that means there'll be opportunity for hundreds of students to be on the campus. And I will also say that one of our staff persons, Dan Herbert, he talks frequently with property owners in that 1 mile radius around the campus itself. And property owners are feeling relatively confident that several thousand students will be returning to live in Chico, even though the vast majority of their courses will be online in the fall. So we do expect several thousand out of our 16,000 students to be in the area, and certainly we should have hundreds of people on campus in any given day. And with that initial planning, we'll see how restrictions go. If we stay in phase two, we will continue our course, but I certainly want to give the city an opportunity to see more detailed planning than what I'm telling you right now, and I'll have that information next week.
You mentioned safety. I believe Chico State has received from the Chancellor's Office models of what waves of infections could come in the summer and fall and even the beginning of next year. Is Chico State expecting to see a small surge in the summer, a bigger surge in the fall, and maybe even a small bump in the beginning of next year?
So when we think about whether we expect a spike here or there, I think what we can expect is that as the state, as people in the state move around, we will see increases in cases. It's a matter of how quickly or how many and how quickly these cases emerge. And that's where we have to be ready when they do emerge to make sure that we work with the county on contact tracing, that we have testing and treatments available so that we can actually surround those who are coming down with it in a way quickly. And get them to self-monitor and self-isolate and take care of themselves and get medical assistance if necessary so that we can help mitigate, again, the spread. Chico State, we're putting all of those protocols into place. We align very closely with what the county and the city are doing. And if there is an increase or some sort of spike, we act to reduce that and suppress it as quickly as possible.
That was President of Chico State, Gail Hutchinson, speaking with NSPR's Andrea Bayek on Thursday. Before we end this program, there's one thing I wanted to note, and that's that since reopening last weekend in Butte County, we're already starting to see an increase in the number of cases, with the county's public health department stating on Facebook Friday that after many weeks with no COVID-19 hospitalizations, 5 people have been hospitalized in the last few days. In a later post, it was stated that many of those who had been hospitalized had been released. But in a video on that first Friday post, the county's public health officer made it very clear that if residents in Butte County want the county to stay open, it's critical that they follow the reopening guidelines.
This is Dr. Andy Miller, the Butte County Public Health Officer, with a COVID-19 check-in. And today I have kind of disturbing news. We are seeing a pretty dramatic increase in cases. We thought we would see an uptick in cases when we started to open up, but in the last 2 days, we've seen 7 new cases in Oroville alone. We've seen 4 hospitalizations in the last couple of days. We've seen more cases in people who are more concerning, higher risk people who are either older or have chronic medical conditions. So let me reiterate a few things. The purpose of this video is to remind us all of a few things. One is that if you're at risk, you need to continue to stay at home. So if you're over 65 or you have chronic medical conditions that put you at increased risk, do not return to normal and stay at home all that you can. Enlist help of friends to get you things. If you really must go out, minimize that and make sure that you are protecting yourself with physical distancing and with face coverings. If you run a business, please follow the industry guidance that has been posted on our webpage. You need to protect your staff and protect your customers. Please pay particular attention to the face covering section, but the physical distancing, the number of people in your business at any time, those are all very important. If you go to a business, please respect those businesses and do that by protecting their staff and other clients by wearing a face covering and maintaining the 6 feet of physical distancing. If you want businesses to open and to remain open, as I do and as we all do, we need to all work together to do this. If we continue to see more cases coming quickly and we continue to see more hospitalizations, 5 of them in the last 2 days, we will lose lives and we will not be able to open the businesses that we want to. And we will have to put further restrictions on businesses, which we don't want to have to do, but we will do it in order to protect people. So we need to all work together on this and take it seriously and reverse this concerning trend of so many cases so quickly.
That was Dr. Andy Miller, public health officer for Butte County, in a Facebook video on Friday, talking about a recent spike in cases in the county since its reopening and the need for everyone to follow the reopening guidelines. And that is your program. I wanted to say one more thing, which is this is the 50th episode of this show. So thank you to my wonderful team. You all work so hard every weekday to put this coverage together. As always, today's special coverage was produced by Mark Albert, Ken Duvall, Christian Solis, Andre Bayek, and Phil Wilkie. Our technical producer is Matt Fidler. Thank you for being with us. I'm Sarah Bohannon, News Director at North State Public Radio, and this is Special Coverage. Tune in each weekday evening at 6:30 or catch the rebroadcast every weekday morning at 8:30. Until then, stay safe, stay informed, and stay tuned to North State Public Radio.